Super Wild Card Weekend is in the books. Now the real fun starts. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Houston Texans versus Baltimore Ravens. It is set in stone. We'll talk all about that big matchup coming up. We'll talk a little bit about the Super Wild Card Weekend because there's some teams that the Ravens are very familiar with who had matches. So we'll discuss it and the ramifications that it's had throughout the AFC playoffs. We'll also have Engraven from Engraven Vids. He'll join us to talk all about those Ravens, all about the Texans, his thoughts, his predictions, things of that nature. So it's going to be quite a show. But first, Ravens, Texans, it comes full circle. A tale as old as time. You guys are my day ones, my A1 day ones. Then you know, after week one, the Ravens beat the Texans. Pretty convincing victory. At the time, fans were still wondering what type of offense this was going to be. So a little disappointing for some by the way the Ravens came about that victory. But I told you, this has less to do with the Ravens and more to do with the Texans. I told you the Texans were going to be a force. I told you C.J. Stroud was looking to be one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League. Did I think he was going to blow up today, this fast? Perhaps. But there's no denying it now. The Houston Texans beat the Cleveland Browns, a team that many expected to face the Ravens in the division around the AFC. Joe Flacco coming back to Baltimore, but the Houston Texans said, spoiled that parade, spoiled that potential matchup, and punched their ticket into the Elite Eight, because that's what this is. If this is March Madness, this is the Elite Eight. There are only eight teams, one of which will win a Super Bowl, two of which may get there. Ravens may be one of them. But the Texans take care of business against the Browns in hilarious fashion almost. Trounced them the way the Ravens have been doing, the good teams this year. So there's some fans with some angst. And we'll get to that because fans are hoping, some of them were, that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be coming to town. The Steelers had a chance to punch their ticket to the division round. Yeah, the Steelers made the playoffs. Crazy. I know there's some fans out there who may think that Mike Tomlin's not that great of a head coach, and you guys know my opinion on him. I think he's one of the best, but Tomlin got that sack of garbage, pardon my French, to the playoffs. They go up against the Buffalo Bills team with a lot of proof. They came in red hot. The Bills, many were thinking, Stephon Diggs is gone. Josh Allen is in trouble. This team's not even going to seek the playoffs, but they wind up the number two seed after it's all said and done, beating the Dolphins in the last week of the regular season and trouncing the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers kind of kept it close in typical Steelers fashion. You know, they give that charade based on their performance that they're good, but they're really not that good. And again, that's why I say the coaching of Mike Tomlin has a lot to do with it. But the Steelers are out. Why did the fans want the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because the Steelers beat the Ravens in week 18. I guess basically the practice squad at this point. I mean, let's be serious. I see why the Ravens fans wanted the Pittsburgh, because a little get back, of course, sprinkled in with a little bit of the Steelers stink. So I get that notion, but doesn't happen. AFC North, a division that's been touted as the best in football, lose two of their three teams in one weekend. Browns, out. Steelers, out. Enter the Ravens. Enter Lamar Jackson. With all the drama, all the narrative that has been talked about through the years, it's coming full circle. Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, the Houston Texans will come to Baltimore looking to end the story against Lamar Jackson and those Baltimore Ravens. We'll see. Like we mentioned earlier, the Texans are a completely different team. The Texans, week one against the Texans in the division round, barely recognizable from each other. The same can be said for the Ravens. The Ravens aren't the same team. Todd Monken's first game as an OC was against those Houston Texans. Mike McDonald's first game for this season, let's just say, because he was here last year, was against the Houston Texans. So the Ravens should pretty much throw that game film in the trash. maybe look for it for tendencies and what have you, things that they did well. But other than that, don't assume that that outcome is going to repeat itself just because you beat them in week one. It's not working like that. No siree. Not at all. But we move on. We digress. The Ravens, one of the eight teams. Texans, another team in the AFC. Bills and Chiefs. If the Ravens win this game, they either face the Bills or the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. One of those teams will punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. First things first, you got to deal with the Texans. And the Texans put up some points, and I know fans are really nervous. 2019, that's all I've been hearing about for the last 4 years. 2019 season, Lamar Jackson was the MVP, just like he is this year. 2019, Ravens had the one seed, just like this season. 2019, Ravens had an extra week of rest because they clinched the number one seed a week prior to the end of the season, just like this team. The difference between 2019 and this year is Lamar Jackson's 4 or 5 years older. The difference is the Ravens have receivers, actual pass catchers, to go along with the OC that has the ability to create actual concepts in the passing game to help Lamar. Let's not get started about the weapons they have on defense now. There was no Kyle Hamilton. There was no Roquan Smith. There was no Odafe Owe. This is a completely different squad. Completely different. So if you want me to talk about rest versus rest, I can concede the fact that there is some level of, shall I say, truality, if that's a word, to the fact that the Ravens may be a bit rusty coming into this game. Kyle Hamilton mentioned it. I spoke with Kyle Hamilton during a Twitter exchange with NFL.com. He said this, it's hard to replicate. Football is one of the few sports where it's very difficult to replicate game time feel in practice because you're hitting, punishing the opposition. You're not going to do that to your teammates. So it's tough. I will say John Harbaugh is one of the best at adapting to situations. The Ravens went to Jacksonville. Well, I want to say went to Jacksonville. They faced the Jacksonville Jaguars in London. Got trounced. John Harbaugh was so upset. He didn't feel like his team was ready. Some of that, later on we find out, has to do with the fact that he doesn't think that the team acclimated well to the time difference. All of the things that come with it. He's a routine guy. Over and over again. Repetition, practice. So this time, what do? They go overseas early. They practice there. They get mentally ready there. They game plan there. Watch film there, what have you. And they beat the Titans. They beat the Tennessee Titans. So what did they do this time? Rust has been the name of the game. If I hear the word rust one more time, I might lose it. What does John Harbaugh do? Practice at the stadium. Practice during the bye week. Repetition. Game time decision making. Game time scenarios. Get the team feeling like it's a real game. You mentioned it. Kyle Hamilton said it. It's hard to replicate game time action. But you can do as much as you can to alleviate that concern. And John Harbaugh has done that. So, if for some crazy reason the Ravens lose this game, and I haven't given my prediction yet, but if the Ravens lose, you're not blaming Rust. The Texans would be the better team. That's that. So, all that to say, it's game time. Ravens, Texans. I like it. I like the matchup. I like what it brings. Young, upstarting quarterback coming into town to face the dominating Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens defense. All of that comes with it. Everyone assumes the Ravens are going to win. But some pundits are expecting the Ravens to lose because Lamar Jackson can't perform in the playoffs? What does that even mean? I'll give credence to the fact that playoff atmosphere is different from regular season. I'll give some grace to the fact that every little bit, every decision you make, every mistake is magnified because if you lose, you go home. But that's mental. You guys know me. I'm an X's and O's guy. Matchups are the name of the game. Who matches up well against who? Who can find a way to use those mismatches that you see on film to your advantage on game day? That's how you win. Can't take away heart, though. Can't take away heart. I mean, X's and O's are fine, in my opinion, but if you don't want it, you look like the Eagles out there. The Eagles played the Bucs. Didn't look like they wanted to be there. Weren't tackling. We're making that extra effort. That's the little things that I consider to be a factor. The Dolphins looked cold out there against the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't look like they wanted to be out there. I'd be very shocked if the Ravens play. They don't want to be out there. They want to be out there. They have something to prove. They're laser focused. And I think they'll be ready to go. When we come back, we'll have Engraven, host of Engraven Vids. If you're a Ravens fan, you know him very well. He'll come in and he'll talk about the Houston Texans, the Ravens, the matchup, and everything that comes with it. Next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. As you mentioned earlier, we have with us Engraven, the man with Engraven Vids over on YouTube. We mentioned that he had him on the show earlier this year, but again, he's one of the greats. If you know Ravens football, then you know this guy. Welcome back to the podcast, man.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, as always, man. Thank you. And thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Well, good time to have you back. The Ravens are finally inserting themselves into the playoff picture after having the first round bye, along with the San Francisco 49ers. Houston Texans are the lucky team to draw first blood against those Ravens. There was a chance that the Ravens could have played somebody else. Dolphins, Browns, Steelers were also an option. But in the end, the Ravens get the Houston Texans. Is there another team that you saw in there that you thought could have been a good matchup or someone that maybe you thought that you would like to face in the division round other than the Texans?
You know, for me, I was actually hoping that we would go up against the Steelers, not even because they're a lesser team, but just to be able to knock them out. And also because I would have preferred the game on Sunday night as well. Yeah. But yeah, I was hoping that we were going against the Steelers, and it didn't really ever look like they had a chance. They were close, but again, that's what Steelers do. Steelers, they hang around with a team, and then it's just a couple of plays that end up being a difference maker. That's what happened with them in that Bills game. So, I'm looking forward to this Texans game, though, because hopefully it'll be nice for the Texans season to both start and end at the same place at M&T Bank Stadium.
It'll be very poetic. I didn't even think about that. That's awesome. The Ravens did play him in week one. I mentioned it earlier in the show, and I don't know if you were sitting here while the show was going on in the beginning, but I mentioned that a lot of Ravens fans wanted Pittsburgh to be the ones to knock them out of the playoffs, and they were the lesser team, and I don't think they even deserved or felt like they should have been in the playoffs, but I guess the NFL made seven seeds, so somebody had to get in, and then unfortunately for Pittsburgh, it was them, so they lose some draft capital and get knocked out of the playoffs, much of the delight of Ravens fans. But yeah, we got the Texans. You mentioned it started the season with the Ravens. CJ Stroud was a rookie QB. Now he's looks like a seasoned vet. I mean, he diced up the Browns. So what are your thoughts on the way CJ Stroud performed, not only in that game against the Browns, but throughout the season?
Amazing, man. He it seemed like he always had confidence, because even in that first Ravens game, like, to me, he didn't look like a rookie. And he did not make the mistakes. Because I remember going into that game thinking, all right, Baltimore Ravens, they at the crib. This is a big season for them. They're going up against a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach. Oh, he's going to throw at least two picks. We're catching at least two of them. He ain't throwing out one. And with C.J. Stroud, he is a very – he takes care of the ball. But a lot of times if you hear that somebody takes care of the ball, you might think, oh, they a game manager. But no, he takes care of the ball, but he does take his risk as well. So he takes calculated risk. He's very smart because he ain't just throwing a bunch of checkdowns or whatnot. He's throwing that ball downfield as well. So with CJ Stroud, like, he has come such a long way in such a short period of time. I mean, I see why the Texans did take him at what, number two overall. And I remember there was chatter that they were actually looking to try to get Bryce Young, but it worked out for them in the short and probably the long run too. But with CJ Stroud, like he's very smart with that football. So it's going to be important that with the Baltimore Ravens, they do things to confuse him. They do things to mess up his mind, mess with his mind to throw him off so he can end up giving the Baltimore Ravens some donations.
Oh, yeah. I think that's pretty much Mike McDonald's game plan coming to this. Definitely to confuse CJ Stroud and give him a shot to make some mistakes. Well, we talked about what CJ Stroud was like in the beginning of the season. Let's talk about what the Ravens have done, because the Ravens defense in particular, and I've been very vocal about how impressed I am with them, considering that preseason I was up in arms about whether or not they can make a play. But Mike McDonald's done a great job with his defense, which is probably why he has some head coaching jobs lined up his way so far during the interview process. Is there one or two differences you see from this defense to last year that has really elevated them into the next level?
I think tackling has been huge for Baltimore Ravens this year. They have been a very, very good team overall with tackling. They've had some times where they miss a tackle here, there, whatnot, but it hasn't been a consistent thing. They've been wrapping up for the most part. I mean, minus Jadeveon Clowney on a couple of sacks, but they've been wrapping up for the most part and bringing ball carriers down and not letting them get a bunch of yak. So that has been one big thing. I think another thing, too, has been just the adjustments. Speaking about Mike McDonald, just him correcting his mistakes early and often. Last year, you saw with Mike McDonald, that being his first year as the Ravens defensive coordinator, he was solid. He was solid, but he definitely did have some blunders, especially toward in the fourth quarters and whatnot. The defenses, they would just collapse. But this year, and I think it's a mix of a couple of different things. I think it's one, him having more experience, but also two, a big thing, him having better personnel. Personnel has made a huge difference with Mike McDonald and his defense, but I just love the way that he's made so many adjustments and he does it quick. And there's a lot of times where he doesn't even wait till halftime to make adjustments, because you always hear about, oh yeah, we'll make some adjustments in the second half. But I remember specifically in that Dolphins game, early on in the game, Tua, they drove right down the field twice on the Ravens, two times. And the only reason that they didn't score a touchdown the second time was because Tyreek Hill just dropped a touchdown pass, because Tua put it right on the money. But Mike McDonald was like, oh, he said, hold on, wait a minute. Let's fix some things. And they got that thing showed up quick. They got it fixed right away, and they took care of business from there on out. So, yeah, definitely the tackling and the adjustments would be the biggest differences, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, you made a good point about the tackling, something that I didn't speak on. But, yeah, the tackling has been spot on, phenomenal. They're not really breaking many tackles, the opposing offense, I should say. So yeah, kudos to that defensive unit. Well, let's talk about a phrase that's been making its way into Ravens fans' minds ever since the Dolphins lost to the Ravens and the Ravens secured that number one bye, and that's rest versus rust. Many Ravens fans think that this rust could be an issue. The Ravens have never had success when having their first round bye. All of their Super Bowl victories have come when they were able to play in a wild card round. What do you think about rest versus rest? Do you think the rest is an actual detriment to this team, or do you think that it's much to do about nothing?
I get the concern from people when it comes to the whole rest versus rust thing. I get it, because the Ravens, they haven't played in a long time, because they, and even before week 18, because they didn't even play in week 18. Mm-hmm. Last game was on December 31st. So it will be almost a month's time until they play again. But I'm not concerned though, because these Baltimore Ravens, they are a much more focused team. And the rest, it benefited them in a big way, in my opinion, because when you got some significant guys that are banged up, like a Marlon Humphrey, he's getting rest, like a Zay Flowers, like a Kyle Hamilton, even a Patrick Queen. Because we've seen from the last couple of games that he's been in, minus the Steelers game, there's been some times where he's made a tackle and then he'll be on the ground for a while, sort of holding his chest, or maybe it's his collarbone. There's something going on with that. I'm not sure exactly what. Mm-hmm. But this has given a lot of guys, Odell Beckham Jr., who's been hurt all year, this has been giving a lot of guys time to recuperate, to rejuvenate, and to be more refreshed. And you see one of the benefits of it. You could possibly get Mark Andrews back this week. Devin Duvernay, he could be back. this week. So it makes such a big difference in a good way that they've had this extra week to where they can chill, they can get healthier, and they can have that extra time to focus on whoever that next opponent is going to be. Obviously, now it's the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what you said, for sure. I think the rest was necessary, and we'll see what happens. But I'm going to segue off of what you just said earlier. You mentioned Mark Andrews. He's coming back, most likely in this game, perhaps maybe the week following. But there's some fans, and I've been on social media, some fans are saying, well, Isaiah Likely was doing pretty good. Maybe Mark Andrews should just sit this season out. And the addition of Dalvin Cook possibly into the mix, there might be some mojo shifting going on with these two players potentially coming back. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think Mark Andrews has a chance to add to this team, or are you concerned that there's possibly a shift in chemistry if you insert Mark Andrews, who's most likely going to want the ball?
Yeah, and that's a really, really good question. And it is very thought-provoking, too, because you think about it like, yeah, Isaiah Likely has been doing this thing, but Mark Andrews is obviously an established guy who's been doing this thing for years. Now, me, the way that I feel about it, if the more weapons you have, the better. The more distractions for a defense from the offense, the better. The more guys that they got to worry about, the better for you. And Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, they could help open things up for each other. I think Lamar Jackson, even earlier this year when Mark Andrews was still playing, I felt like Lamar Jackson was doing a good job of really spreading the ball out. And I know that's been a lot of people's concern. They feel like, oh, if Mark Andrews comes back, then Lamar just going to be laser focused on him. He'll get tunnel vision and he won't spread that ball out like he had been previously. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that, in my opinion, that's not a concern. I think it'll be fine. And I think with the addition of Mark Andrews, and it's a good situation too. Because with the addition of Mark Andrews, in most cases, it'd be like, all right, man, Mark Andrews, oh, he's healthy enough. He got to get back out there ASAP. We need Mark Andrews ASAP. But Isaiah Likely's been doing a really good job. So there's no pressure. It's like pressure and no pressure all at the same time. I'm sure it's pressure. Mark Andrews is pressuring himself like, hey, no, I got to get back out there. Because I want to be out there with my guys. I'm trying to help them go on this run. And I'm sure, hey, he's a pass catcher. He's a tight end. So he's probably looking at Isaiah Likely and getting a little jealous. Like, man, this dude making all them plays. Oh, I got to get out there making them plays too. But with Mark Andrews, it's from the team standpoint, it's no pressure because they have a tight end that's been doing a phenomenal job. Lamar Jackson and Isaiah Likely, their chemistry has just gone to another level this year. Now, you also mentioned Dalvin Cook. With Dalvin Cook, it's a little bit different because you have Justice Hill, you have Gus Edwards. Those are your main guys. And with Dalvin Cook, his time with the Jets, obviously, it wasn't pretty this season, but I find it kind of hard to believe that a guy who just came off of, four back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, that all of a sudden he would just fall off like that. But with him, it's a low-risk, potential high-reward for the Baltimore Ravens. But with him, he could possibly just take Melvin Gordon snaps. And that wasn't many to begin with. Right. But you could throw him in here and there, and it's like there's no pressure. You throw him in on a drive here, drive there, whatnot. Just see how he's looking. And with him, you've had a couple of weeks because he's been on the practice squad for, I think, 2 weeks now. So he's had time to ramp up, get to learn the playbook, get more comfortable with the guys and whatnot. So when he's in there, it also is one of those things where it's like, all right, no pressure because we got our guys already at running back. But Dalvin Cook just makes them that much more stronger.
Yeah, and I think that the Ravens are going to do exactly what you said. He's going to be the guy to pretty much replace Melvin Gordon. They want to try and get back to the feeding that they were doing before Keaton Mitchell's injury. And I think if Dalvin Cook looks the way I think he looked in camp, but practice, which is what I've been hearing from the castle, then perhaps you could see some Cook, but not to the effect where Gus Edwards or Hill are losing touches, at least not in this game, I don't believe. Okay, well, it's time to get your prediction, man, because it's showtime. You know, the Ravens fans are confident yet nervous, which is pretty much what you want from a group of fans in this stage in the playoffs. It's okay to be nervous considering you're one and done if you lose, but I want to get your predictions. Mr. Engraven, one of the key faces in the Ravens Nation. What are your thoughts? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to definitely be. Every day that we get closer, I'm going to get more and more nervous, and especially on game, they'll be going crazy, but I do think the Ravens are going to take care of business. With the Houston Texans, they're going to present their challenges. I think the score would be, let's say 33-21. So a close game, not a blowout, but a close enough game. I think Ravens just they handle their business and they advance. I've said it from the beginning of the season that I feel like with the Baltimore Ravens, that the way that this roster was assembled, that they are a Super Bowl team, and that the only thing that could get in their way of the Super Bowl was health. And they've had a lot of health concerns in a lot of different places, but they've been able to overcome them. And the biggest health, the biggest guy who's been healthy, who makes the biggest difference, obviously that being Lamar Jackson. So I think the Ravens take care of business against the Texans and they advance to that AFC championship.
It's hard to disagree with you. I think I'm right there with you. I'll save my thoughts on the game until after the break, but it's looking like you might be correct for sure, for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Engraven. You've been a blessing to have on the show once again. Tell the folks at home where they can find your stuff.
Oh, you can find me at Engraven Vids on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. And again, I appreciate you having me. So thank you very much for everything that you do for Baltimore Ravens community.
Oh, man, no problem. I appreciate you. A lot of what I do is because of guys like you going into the content creation scene and doing what they do for the Ravens fans out there. So much appreciated. Thanks so much, Engraven, for coming on the show. When we get back, we'll get final thoughts in the Houston Texans, Baltimore Ravens game. One of those teams are going home, and one of those teams will advance to the AFC Championship game next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, that was my boy, Engraven. I'm Engraven Vids over on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter. He's all over. If you're a Ravens fan, no point in even promoting this guy. You know who he is. Definitely a blessing to have on the show. I appreciate him and what he's done for the community for sure. Ravens-Texans. Ravens versus Texans. A lot riding on this. There has been a narrative that has been pushed against Lamar Jackson for a long time, since the end of the 2019 season. A narrative has been pushed, probably even beforehand. I'm talking pre-draft. And I made a little video because the podcast was on a bye week due to the fact that the Ravens didn't play. I told you all about it. Lamar Jackson has been scrutinized, trashed at some points, and he has knocked down every narrative. Every single narrative that has gone against this guy, he has tore down. And that's one of the reasons, I think that might be the main reason, other than the fact that this guy wins, that the Ravens faithful love this guy so much. Imagine having someone tell you about yourself against everything you believe yourself. Telling you you're not good enough. Telling you you should consider this. When in your heart of hearts, you know that you're worth more. And to have to consistently defend yourself and prove yourself. Now, I know there's a lot of people in Baltimore and a lot of people across the nation who know exactly where I'm coming from or where we're going with this. But to have that notion displayed on national television when everything points to the other. You're not good enough to be a quarterback. Well, I just have 3 perfect passer ratings, more than almost every quarterback in the history of the game. Oh, you're just a running back. Oh, well, I just threw 5 touchdown passes against the team you thought we were going to lose to. The one thing that he has left is to perform in the postseason. Now, I've been no stranger to this concept. I've mentioned it plenty of times. Lamar Jackson's inabilities in the postseason is not directly correlated with his performance or his ability to perform. The Ravens did not have pass catchers. They didn't have a concept to allow him to show off his throwing ability. They have that now. This long-winded speech is one thing to say. There are no more excuses. I personally have no more excuses for Lamar Jackson. It's over. I can't blame the offensive coordinator. He's looking for a job as a head coach. I can't blame the defense. They're number one in sacks, takeaways, and points. I can't blame the receivers. You got Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham, Zay Flowers, Nelson Aguilar. There's no excuses. There's no one left to blame. If Lamar Jackson doesn't get it done, the narrative can be pointed to Lamar Jackson, and we have no excuses. Now, people lose in the postseason. Matthew Stafford lost in the postseason this weekend. Does that eliminate his ability to be a quarterback? No. Jalen Hurts, a year removed from being in the Super Bowl, got bounced in the playoffs by the Tampa Bay Bucks. Does that mean he's not a good QB? No. But the narrative is there for Lamar Jackson. And as much as I hate to see it, and as much as I hate to say it, the only way for Lamar to burn this narrative to the ground is to win on Saturday. And to continue to win. He doesn't need to win the Super Bowl, even though I predict he will, if he makes it. He needs to get there, at least. He's facing the Texans team who, on film, looks beatable. I'm just going to call it like I see it, guys. The Texans do not match up well against the Baltimore Ravens. They don't. They have C.J. Stroud. He's a pretty good quarterback. Very good quarterback. But the Browns' fatal flaw was their inability to make the quarterback think pre and post snap. Something the Ravens do not do at all. If you think the Ravens are doing one thing before the snap, bet your bottom dollar they're doing something else post snap. That's the Ravens' MO. So it all lines up well. Any given Sunday, I guess. But the Ravens are 9.5-point favorites. And I think that's right on the money. Maybe even further, if you really think about it. I'm predicting 34-17 Ravens win. Get it done. We are out of excuses. And the Ravens are out of time to figure something out. If it's not now, then when? If not now, then when? I think the Ravens get it done. I think Lamar Jackson shuts up the haters. And you know I'd love to see that. We'll see. We shall see. One thing I do love about the Ravens matchup, it's at home, it's cold, it's a little windy. Texans playing the dome, Ravens playing the cold. Lamar Jackson may not like the cold. You better get used to it, buddy. You're in Baltimore. It's cold over here. I think the Ravens will be fine. I think they move on to play either the Bills or the Chiefs. Looking like it's going to be the Bills, but whoever it is, it's a beeline for the Super Bowl. It starts Saturday. Rest versus rest. Can Lamar do it in the postseason? Can the Ravens win the third Super Bowl? All of that stuff will be figured out on Saturday, which is why this is such a huge game. Huge game for the Ravens. But they are locked in. If you think this little speech is something, look at the Ravens players' faces. Look at Roquan Smith's face. Look at Lamar's face when they're asking questions. They don't want to be asking questions. They don't want to be answering questions from the media. They want to be in the practice field, in the weight room, in the film room, doing what they have to do to get ready and take care of business. They have a goal in mind, and nothing's going to stop them. At least I don't think. But there are no more excuses for me. 5 years I made my excuses. No quarterback. Not no quarterback. No wide receivers. No OC. No chance has been my mantra since the end of the 2019 season. The Ravens said, you want it? You got it, Sam. And look what's happened. The Ravens had the one seed again at the cusp of greatness. But I can't put on the helmet to play football. You don't want me out there. It'll be bad. It'll be a sight to behold. Lots of flailing around and crying for my mama. But those guys out there know how to play football. And I think they'll just be just fine. I think they'll be just fine. We shall see. Next week, we'll talk about it. If they win, happy times ahead. If they lose, plenty of questions. That's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, special thanks to Engraven for coming on the show. Huge support for him. Go over there. I'll try and link his description on the YouTube page. And if you guys follow him on Instagram and YouTube, definitely give him a holler and thank him so much for joining the Ravens Talk community and being a consistent presence here on the podcast. Next week, Ravens versus Bills or Chiefs? I think they get the job done against the Texans, and it's just a wait-and-see approach. Lamar Jackson, can he punch his first ticket into the championship round of the AFC? We'll find out. I'll see you next week.